Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
We are keeping a close eye on the Timothy Bleefneck murder trial. We have closing argument audio here for you from the prosecution. It's going to come to you in two parts to take a listen to. And of course, we'll be here with the verdict as it comes in. This is part one of closing arguments from the prosecution this week.
All right, Mr. Jones, you may be heard.
Thank you, Your Honor. May police court, opposing counsel, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. On February 23rd, 2023, the defendant rode a bike with no reflectors on it that he had bought on Facebook to Becky Bleefneck's house. He rode that bike past the Quincy bus barn and past 224 South 20th Street, just like he did on February 14th, 21st, and 27th. But on February 23rd, 2023, the defendant climbed up a chair in a pergola and onto Becky's roof. And he walked on her roof and he walked past four other windows to the window of a bedroom that he knew was empty. The window of a bedroom of a little boy who at that very moment was asleep in his father's house. And on February 23rd, 2023, the defendant pried open that window with a crowbar, just like he read on the internet. He climbed through that window and he broke down Becky's door and he chased her into a bathroom. Becky fell to the ground and the defendant looked down at her, looked her in the eyes, and shot her 14 times. He shot her with a gun with a homemade silencer that he read about on the internet. And on February 23rd, 2023, after he executed Becky in cold blood and left her there on that bathroom, slowly bleeding to death, surrounded by 8 shell casings, he rode that same bike past the Quincy bus barn, just like he did on February 14th, 21st, and 22nd. He went back to his house, where police would later find 27 shell casings that exactly matched the 8 shell casings that were fired by the gun that shot and killed and executed Becky. The 27 shell casings in his house exactly matched the shell casings that were around Becky. Not the same type of gun, not the same brand of gun, the exact same gun fired all 37 shell casings. Just like identical twins have different fingerprints, each and every gun leaves a different fingerprint on every shell casing it fires. Each and every gun. And every one of those of those 35 shell casings had the same fingerprint. They were fired by the exact same gun. Not the same brand of gun, not the same type of gun. The exact same gun fired all 35 of those shell casings. Now, what the defendant did on February 23rd, 2023 in Adams County is called home invasion and first-degree murder. And after you hear all the argument, the judge is going to tell you that to prove those things, we have to prove certain elements. To prove home invasion, we have to prove these things on the screen. And usually what I would do in a closing argument is I read each of these propositions to you, and we talk about those propositions. And then I read the propositions for first-degree murder, and we talk about those propositions. But this case is different. This case isn't a propositions case. This case is about one question. This is a one-proposition case, if you will. And the proposition is this. Did the defendant do it? Have we proven beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant did it? And after you hear the evidence and after you hear the closing argument, if you believe that it's proven it beyond a reasonable doubt, then you find the defendant guilty. And what happened on February 23rd, 2023, that violent and tragic end to Becky Bleefnik's life? Well, it started on September 18th, 2009, when Becky and the defendant were married. After a few years, in January of 2021, January 21st, the defendant files for divorce. A few months later, in May of 2021, Becky starts to tell people about her fears that something's not right. She tells Christine Moore, he screamed in my face. He shoved me in front of the kids. He's thrown things across the room where the kids and I were standing. He's punched a hole in the wall. If things really don't go his way, I feel he can be very unstable and unpredictable. And the thought's gone through my mind, if I may need a restraining order, I'm changing the locks as soon as I can. She tells Christine Moore that the only way the defendant has to make sure that the boys choose him over her is to eliminate her as a choice. Then on Mother's Day of May 2021, she tells her friend, Nicole Bateman, Tim told me if I outed his dad that he would probably have to move and then he would kill himself. And yes, I absolutely worry he will try to take the kids sometime, especially if I get awarded the custody I want. He will be pissed and he will do whatever he feels like doing. In June of 2021, Becky calls out to another friend, to Becky Spots, and she tells Becky, I'm wanting to never have my children around them alone ever again. It's gotten to the point that I hate to even go to work for fear that he will secretly take off with the kids and I won't see them for a long time. Forever. I truly believe Tim has serious mental health problems and he's becoming more vengeful and unpredictable. And it scares me. But I'm scared to even try to get an order of protection because it will piss him off. And he will try to punish me somehow. And I don't think an order of protection will be issued because they will say his violent outbursts have not been egregious enough and the incidents have been stretched out over too long a period. Temporary custody has not even been set yet because we haven't been to court and I don't have even exclusive possession of our home. So I can't legally keep him away from me or the kids. Plus, if I ask for an order of protection, I won't be able to come see my children in his house anymore. And he may cut off their communication with me while they are there, and that scares me too. And then she tells Becky, it is a fucking nightmare. In August of 2021, she gets a court order She gets a court order that says Ray Bleefing, the defendant's father, can have no unsupervised contact with the boys. August of 2021. The defendant's required to pay her alimony of $2,100 a month and child support of $472 a month. September of 2021. She sends a message to her sister. If something ever happens to me, please make sure the number one person of interest is Tim, as that is who would do something to me. I'm putting this in writing that I'm fearful he will somehow harm me, come after me, or will try to do something to me that takes me away from the kids or the kids away from me. He already has lied multiple times to paint himself as a victim and me as the perpetrator when it is the other way around. No, I have not sent this to mom or dad as I don't want them to be out of their mind with words. And just 4 days later, she messages her friend Nicole Bateman again. A friend of mine from the ER was murdered last Friday by her ex. I literally had a panic attack Friday night thinking Tim is going to come after me and do the same if he continues to not get his way. If he's crazy enough to file this OOP and make all this crap up and blame it on me, what else is he willing to do? On top of the fact that he has all our guns and ammunition, including mine. And in October of 2021, we learned on October 15th, the defendant's cell phone was factory reset. So when the defense says, well, we don't know how old those searches were on his phone, but we'll talk about, remember, his phone was factory reset on October 15th. Then on October 22nd, Becky gets another court order. This time, it's an order of injunction. Neither party shall go to the other party's residence except for the exchange of the minor children. I bring this up for this reason and this reason alone. It's perhaps possible that some of you are thinking, well, the defendant had a right to be at Becky's house still, so he can't commit home invasion because he had a right to be there. No, he did not. There was a court order that said, thou shalt not. And the defendant was told not to be there. He did not have a right to be at that house. That house on Kentucky Street at that point, and until the divorce was settled, was Becky's and Becky's alone. And in October 22nd of 2021, the defendant was ordered to give Becky that CZ-75. And if he couldn't, he was ordered to give her a Ruger LCS. Now, when he didn't give her that gun, Becky called the police. And the police went and talked to the defendant, and the defendant said, I don't know where the CZ is. The police told Becky that, and Becky said, then I want to report the gun stolen because the defendant stole it. He hasn't given it back to me. He hasn't. Late fall, early winter of 2021, Becky cries out to another friend. She tells Amber Whitmer, if anything ever happens to me, it was the defendant. And in March of 2022, she cries out to a friend in California. And she tells Christine Mandel, I feel safe right now, but I'm super nervous for when this ends. If he doesn't get his way, he might literally lose his mind. Tells her that she got a security system, that the defendant wants everything. He wants sole custody of the kids. He wants all the money, all the assets. He wants me to suffer. But I've had some serious PTSD with all this and the things I found out. Plus, I've had not one but two co-workers get murdered by their exes in the last year, which has totally made me a nervous Nelly. I'd rather let him believe what he tells me and stay alive for my kids. It sounds so crazy to say that out loud, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that he would go off the deep end. He literally cares more about hurting me than anything else. I literally would never trust him to ever let him in my house if it was just us. Then in June of 2022, she calls Gary Collins on the phone. She's crying. She's emotional. She's in tears. She tells Gary Collins, who was a police officer at the time, if anything happens to me, it was the defendant. In August of 2022, Becky gets another court order. Neither party shall go to the other party's residence except for the exchange of the minor children. I bring that up for just what we talked about. The defendant had no right to be at that house on Kentucky Street. Then in October of 2022, John Smith receives notification about Mike Blazing's bike being sold. I want to talk about this for just a minute. The defense might suggest that we don't know who John Smith was. And I guess my response to that would be this. If we're sitting here in the courtroom and we hear thunder outside and we see a flash of lightning and somebody walks through that door and they're wearing galoshes and they've got an umbrella in their hand, do you have to look out the window to know that it's raining? No, you don't. Do we know who John Smith was? Yeah. John Smith sits right there. John Smith drove an orange rust CRV. That was the message that he sent. The defendant drives that same CRV. John Smith says that he's got long brown hair. The defendant had long brown hair. John Smith bought a black mongoose bike. There was a black mongoose bike in the defendant's garage. And John Smith got notifications on his phone about a blue bike with no reflectors that was sold by Mike Blazing to a tall, athletically built man. Do we have to look outside to know if it's raining? We know who John Smith is, and we know what John Smith did. December 2022, just 3 months before Becky was executed in cold blood, Becky files her pretrial affidavit. And in Becky's pretrial affidavit, she talks about that CZ-75 again, because she didn't have it. There was no gun safe in her house. There was no ammunition found in her house. We've heard no evidence of that. She didn't have a gun. She wanted that gun back. And if the defendant didn't give her that CZ-75, he was supposed to give her a Ruger 9 LCS. We'll talk about that Ruger LCS in a minute. And in Becky's proposed parenting plan, talking about custody of the boys, Becky agreed to 50-50. Becky again agreed to a fair split, 50-50 between her and the defendant. Compare that to the defendant's proposed parenting plan. When he filed a proposed parenting plan in December, he wanted 70-30 his way. She would have four overnights in a 14-day period. That's what the defendant wanted. Then in January of 2023, the defendant sends a letter to Becky about what he wanted. And what did he say? He said, well, I'll go 60-40. And I'll do 50-50 if you get a psychological evaluation. And he said, I'm not going to pay any child support. I'm only going to pay maintenance of $750. And you know that house that you've been living in with those boys for the 2 years? That's mine now. You get 60 days to find a new place to live. And my father, even though there's been a court order for 2 years that there's no unsupervised contact, my father can see the boys whenever he wants, supervised or unsupervised. That's what I want. That's what the defendant said he wanted in January of 2022. And on January 5th of 2023, I apologize, January 5th of 2023, Becky calls out again to a friend, Melissa Young. Friend she hadn't seen in a while. What does her friend say? Her friend says, Becky looked emotionally drained and tired. Becky said, the defendant told her, you'll be dead before you get my money. And Becky asked for prayers. Sometime in January, Becky calls out to her friend Sarah Murphy and says, if anything happens to me, you better go looking for the defendant. And the defendant told me, I'm tired of playing your stupid little game. And in January of 2023, days, weeks before Becky was left alone on that cold bathroom floor, the defendant's asking his next door neighbor, do you have any cameras that can see into my backyard? February of 2023, the month that Becky was killed. On Friday, February 10th, the defendant calls the Quincy Police Department and says that he's going through a brutal and contentious divorce. And he says, I've got to give a gun back to that crazy bitch. And he says, Hall of Fame QU football player, active in CrossFit, says, I don't feel safe around her. Let's focus on these 3 weeks. And let's start with February 13th and 14th of 2023. On February 13th, 2023, at 2:02 p.m., we know that that's the last time there was activity on the defendant's computer, last time there was any internet search on his computer, 2:02 p.m., until 1:10 a.m., and we'll talk about that in a minute. And we know that at 7:38 p.m., it's the last call on his phone until 1:32 a.m., and we'll talk about that in a minute. At 11:44 p.m., Ken Johnson, Becky's boyfriend, texts her, I'm on my way. And we know that he arrived at the house at around midnight the next day, the 14th. And we also know that he parks his truck with that license plate and that VIN number on the back parking lot, back driveway of Becky's house. And we also know that on February 14th, at midnight, the defendant's Whoop armband loses connection. And what happens after that? What happens after his armband loses connection? For the first time, we see this video at the Quincy Bus Barn. Just like we've on John Smith's phone. And what happens Just a minute and a half after that, bullet one, or 12:31 a.m., we see this video at 224 South 20th Street. And just 6 minutes after that, we see this video at Taylor Hyman's house. And what do you suppose we're going to see about 15 minutes later? This video back at the Quincy Bus Barn. Person on a bike, with no reflectors. And is it a person on a bike with no reflectors, or is it the defendant on that bike? Well, right after we see that video, the defendant's whoop mysteriously reconnects. And right after we see that video, and right after his whoop mysteriously reconnects, and remember, while all this is going on, this is 1:10 in the morning, Ted Johnson, at that very moment, his truck with that license plate and that VIN number are parked right behind Becky's house. What happens? The defendant goes down the rabbit hole. At 1:10 a.m. in the morning, he starts searching all these things. At 1:10 in the morning, right after his boot reconnects. And he's not just searching for license plates. There's a specific license plate that he's searching for. He's looking for 8DCJ55. Now, how else does he see it unless he's in her backyard? And how else does he see it in his backyard unless he gets there? And how did he get there? He rode that bike. And how do we know he rode that bike? Because his whoop wasn't connected when he was doing it. But if that's not enough, he looked up, how do I find the owner of a license plate in Missouri? And what does he do right after that? That's at 1:31 a.m. What does he do at 1:32 a.m.? He makes a cell phone call. Who does he call? The Missouri Department of Revenue. At 1:32 in the morning. And if that's not enough, he's looking for a specific VIN number. I mean, maybe it's one thing to get a license plate number, but you gotta want that VIN number. The same VIN number that was on Ted's truck that was parked right there, right where the defendant saw it, after he rode a bike there, got caught on those two videos, and got caught on Taylor Hyman's video. He kept searching until 1:48 in the morning, over 200 searches, over 38 minutes. You know, Becky said if he didn't get his way, he might start to literally lose his mind. He started to lose his mind. Because he wasn't done. A day later, he's still searching. He's still down that rabbit hole. And on the 15th of February, there's a court order. The matter set for trial. The end is in sight for Becky. She's going to testify about all those issues, about the hidden assets, the $500,000 in hidden assets, about the custody of the boys. Who's going to? Is it going to be 50-50, or is the defendant going to get what he wants? 60-40, 70-30. That's going to be settled. Is she going to get kicked out of the home like the defendant wants? Is he going to have to pay her alimony or not? He didn't want to pay her the alimony that she was requesting. And what about the defendant's dad? Was he going to be around those boys unsupervised or not? That was all coming to a head. She had her witnesses subpoenaed. They were there. They were going to testify on March 3rd at 1 p.m. It's in the order. All the presenting matters were going to be heard. The end was in sight. And what did Becky say? She was super nervous for when this ends. Because if the defendant didn't get his way, he might lose his mind. February 17th, the defendant's interviewed by the GAL, Greg Zimmerman. What did he tell us? The defendant didn't want 50-50. He wanted 60-40, at least 60-40. Becky was reluctant, but would go along with 50-50. She felt like that was best for the kids. Defendant? No, I want more. I want to win. On the 19th, Becky goes out for surgery. She's at the home of Brandon and Celia Gervais. We heard from them. And she doesn't come back until the 21st. But in between, the GAL report was filed. And what did the GAL say? Well, the GAL said 50-50. GAL said, defendant, you're not going to get what you want. I think it should stay the same 50-50 like Becky had agreed to. And like Becky had filed in her parenting report. February 20th to 21st of 2023. Remember, at this point, Becky is still with the Gervais in St. Peter's in St. Louis, Missouri. And at 12:44, on the 20th, the defendant's cell phone locks. And just a minute later, his whoop again mysteriously loses connection. And right after that, we see a video at the Quincy Bus Barn. Person on a bike with no reflectors. And just a minute and a half after that, you see a video at 224 South 20th Street. And 15 minutes later after that, you see a video at the bus barn. First on a bike with no reflectors, headed north this time. And after the bus barn video, about 25 minutes later, you see another video at the bus barn. Same on a bike, no reflectors. Defendant's whoop, still not connected. No activity on his laptop, no activity on his phone, not one text, not one phone call. And 15 minutes after that, pushing on the bike with no reflectors. You might be asking yourselves, well, why is there no video at Taylor Hyman's house? I would remind you, Becky wasn't there that night. Becky wasn't at home that night. But mysteriously enough, at 2:11, defendant's armband, after we see the person on the bike, reconnects. And his cell phone unlocks. Becky gets home on the 21st at 11:30 that day. I'm sorry, 11:03 that day. Let's go into February 21st and 22nd. And again, let's remember, no activity on the laptop from 8:27 p.m. to 7:01 on the 22nd. No calls on a cell phone between 4:37 on the 21st and 9:29 a.m. on the 22nd. 7:46, Becky texts the defendant and says, "Will you watch the kids the next day?" We saw those messages on Our Family Wizards. And at 8 o'clock, Ted Johnson, Becky's boyfriend, brings her Qdoba. He's there for about an hour and a half. And at 9:30, Ted helps Becky get into bed, kisses her on the forehead, and says goodnight. The last time Ted Johnson ever saw her alive. At 12:42, the defendant's woo loses connection. What do you think is going to happen next? If you guess that his cell phone locked, you got it right. What do you think happens next? If you guess, will there be a video from the Quincy bus barn? You got it right. 12:57. And what happens next? If you guessed, video at South 20th Street at 2:24, you got it right. Headed north on 20th Street, I'm sorry, south on 20th Street, turning east on Prairie towards Becky's house. And what do you think happens after that? About 5 minutes after that. If you said, "I wonder if there'll be video at the Hyman residence," there was. At 1:05 a.m. And what happens about 15 minutes after that? Quincy bus barn. Person on a bike with no reflectors, heading one, away from the direction of Becky's house, towards the direction of the defendant's house. What's going to happen next? If you guessed that his cell phone would unlock and the defendant's whoop would mysteriously reconnect just 6 minutes after we saw that person on the bike, you got it right. And then at 1:39, his cell phone locks again, and his whoop loses connection again. And once again, right after his cell phone locked, right after his whoop loses connection, there's a video at the Quincy bus barn of a person riding a bike with no reflectors. There's video at South 20th Street, 224 South 20th Street, of a person riding a bike south on 20th Street, and once again, turning east on Twitter. And if you're asking yourself, well, in 15 minutes, is there going to be video at the Taylor Hyman residence of a person? There is. Well, after that, is there going to be video at the bus barn again of a person on a bike with no reflectors headed north on 20th Street, away from the direction of Becky's house and towards the direction of the defendant's house? Yep, you got that one right too. Is it 206? There you go. And if you're asking yourself, well, how do you know that's the defendant? Once again, right after you see that person on the bike, his Whoop reconnects and his phone unlocks. 14th, 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Same thing every day. And on the days when we don't see the person on the bike, or we don't see, you know what, not a person, the days when we don't see the defendant on a bike, his Whoop's fine. It's not losing connection then. The only time we see those losses, those times when the Whoop isn't connected, those gaps, are when he's on a bike and he's headed to Becky's house. February 23rd, 2023, the day Becky was murdered. On the 22nd, at 1:15, Kelly Leakley goes to the defendant's house. She stays there about half an hour. They have sex, and she leaves around 1:45 or 2 o'clock. Now, I understand that Kelly didn't like talking about that, and I understand that. It's embarrassing to talk about those things, and I wouldn't bring it up if it wasn't important. It's not important right now. It will be important in about 10 minutes. So bear with me. Just remember, at 1:45, 2 o'clock on the 22nd, the day before Becky was murdered, and when the defendant had to pick up his boys, at 1:45, 2 o'clock, he's not picking up his boys, he's having sex with Kelly Leakley. February 22nd into the 23rd. 8:15 on the 22nd to 6:02 on the 23rd. No activity on his laptop. No calls on his phone between 12:32 p.m. on the 22nd and 8:01 on the 23rd. No activity on his laptop. No calls on his phone. At 7:16, Ted texts Becky. And we saw those text messages. And at 9:47, he calls Becky, and they talk for about 26 minutes. And at 12:36, the defendant's Whoop loses connection. And at 12:38, his cell phone calls. 12:53, Becky's on Facebook. 12:55, you see a video of the defendant riding that blue bike with no reflector down 20th Street towards Becky's house. And a minute and a half after that, you see the video at 224 South 20th Street of the defendant riding that same blue bike that he bought on Facebook and headed south on 20th. And turning east on Prairie towards Becky's home. He goes to Becky's house. Climbs up that shed. He climbs onto the pergola, and he climbs onto the roof, and he goes past these windows, and he goes to this window, the window that he knows goes to a bedroom that's empty, because the little boy who sleeps in that room is asleep at his house at that moment. The random burglar just got that lucky. The random burglar went past four other entry points, get to an entry point all the way across on the other side. He pries open that window, crawls through the window. Becky hears the noise, tries to slam her door shut. The defendant kicks in that door, breaks in that door, and Becky's trying to dial 91126, and the phone falls out of her hand because he breaks in that door, knocking the phone out of her hand, and it's found right there. And Becky runs into the bathroom, and she turns around, and she falls to the ground, and the defendant looks down at her, and she looks up at him, and he points the gun down at her, and he pulls the trigger again and again and again and again. He leaves her like that. And at 1:12 a.m., he runs away. And while Becky is still in that dark, cold bathroom, completely alone, she can't move from the waist down because her spinal cord's been hit. She can't breathe because one of her lungs has been punctured. She's bleeding internally for minutes as she slowly and agonizedly bleeds to death. While that's going on, she's surrounded by evidence of the crime. She's surrounded by pieces of the plastic bag that the defendant used in an attempt to make a homemade silencer, in an attempt to try to catch those shell casings that are projected from the gun. And the defendant's DNA is under the fingernails of her left hand, the same hand that she used to wear a wedding ring on when she promised to love and honor the defendant. That hand is no protection from the bullets that he fired at her. Surrounded by the 8 shell casings that exactly matched the shell casings that were at the defendant's house. Not the same type of gun, not the same type of ammunition, not the same brand of gun, the exact same fingerprint on all those shell casings and all those shell casings in his basement. And while Becky is slowly dying, the defendant is riding that blue bike with no reflectors, furiously home, pedaling furiously away from what he just did, running away from facing what he did. And after he got rid of the gun and the clothes and the evidence of his crime, or almost all the evidence of his crime, his whoop reconnects and his self unlocks. The defendant didn't commit the perfect crime, but his mistakes kept going into that morning. On the morning of the 23rd, between 7:30 and 9:30 a.m., Amy Schmiedeskamp told me that she saw the defendant bring a little tight suit over to his father's house. Now remember, the defendant's father, had had no unsupervised contact with those boys for over 2 years. They hadn't been over there. Amy Schmiedeskamp said she hadn't seen the boys over there for 2 years. Why does he bring a little tight suit over there unless he knows that's not going to be a problem for him anymore? Unless he knows what nobody else knows at that point, that at 7:30 in the morning, Becky's body is still less than a block away from where he's dropping off that little tight suit. Because he knows Becky's not going to be around to put up a fight now. I'm going to get what I want. My dad's going to be able to have unsupervised contact because Becky's dead, because I killed her. Amy Schmiedeskamp lying about what she saw. And at 11:51 a.m., the defendant calls St. Peter's School and says, don't let the boys walk home. I'm going to be there to pick them up. Don't let them walk home. Roberta Hudson, the school secretary, said that was unusual, that he had never done that before. Well, what was different on the 23rd? Why didn't he want the boys to walk home? Could it be because he knew that the evidence of his crime was waiting for to be discovered? He didn't want his boys to walk in and see their mother shot 14 times on the bathroom floor? He gets to St. Peter's School an hour early to pick up the boys, and Roberta Hudson said that was unusual. There were no other parents waiting that early.
That's part one of closing arguments from the prosecution in the trial of Timothy Bleefnik, the Family Feud accused murderer. Verdict should be coming in shortly, and as we have that, we will let you know right here on the podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it. I'm Tony Bruschi. Part two of the prosecution's closing arguments are coming up next. Stay with us.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.